and youth pastor here. You probably know him. You know his whole story. So I don't. He doesn't need any introduction. So come up here and bring the word for us, brother.
Can y'all hear me? If I'm not standing there holding that mic, y'all can hear me. Hear me? Good. Woo! Praise the Lord. All right. I'm pumped today. I'm excited. So many things have just got me tickled to pieces today, coming home and seeing this church and the folks, the faces, a lot of new faces. And the music was just phenomenal today. Wow. Unbelievable. Today has just been such a blessing to come home. See if I can remember my code. All right, stop talking. Remember your code. I got it. Almost there. All right. Wow, that song y'all just sang up here in the choir was so appropriate and fitting for this message today. So appropriate. It was wonderful. I don't know if that was a planned thing or not, but the Lord works, man. Yeah, it was planned by Him. We didn't have to. And y'all are just the most adorable thing I've ever seen in my life. I miss that so much. You know, coming home for me is so many wonderful aspects of just coming home, seeing friends and family. Some folks, like sitting right here in the middle of the church, I haven't seen in years. Good gracious. But it's really great to be here today. It's good to be home. And I'm so glad to have been asked to come in here and bring the word today and preach and worship and fellowship with you all today. Oh, I forgot my water. Yep, she knows. And when y'all see me drink this, you know you're in trouble because it's going to last a little bit longer. Yep. But that's all right because we got some good food coming. But I've been here. I've been in to so many homecomings over the years here, and it just hits different today. Today just hits different for me, coming home and being asked to preach. And I'm here with my wife, Allison, and three of our four girls were in here just a few minutes ago. We have Noni with us. She's 13 years old. We have Dayla. She's 11 in a couple days. Well, no, she'll be 11 in a couple days. And India is 9 years old. And since we've been gone and left here and moved to Ivor, we have our son Wilder who's come into the world. And it's been a wonderful year. And he's getting claps. You go, Wilder. He'll be 1 year old on the 14th, December 14th. And the day after I preached my first official sermon for Millfield Baptist Church, we went back to the parsonage, and I had just put this new nice desk together in the office, and I was just sitting there kind of taking it all in, and all of a sudden Al walks in the room, and she throws a pregnancy test up on the desk, and I was like, so we're doing this again, huh? I was like, woo! But Wilder, he was our only child born at a midwifery. All of our other children were born at Obese, and we had a midwife for them, but she retired, so we found a new one. And he was born in the oldest house in Suffolk, and it smelled like Layton's. I know all of y'all have been to Layton's. It really did. It smelled just like a smokehouse when we walked in. I loved it. I was like, my boy's going to be born in a smokehouse, and I love this. And but anyway, just a few minutes after he was born on December the 14th, baby Jesus gave him a parade that literally came right by our windows outside of the house where we were, where he was born. We had a parade happening, and I was like, yeah, what? I was like, come on, man. But I enjoyed the parade. I was a bit preoccupied at the time, but it was a great day. God has truly blessed our family with the happiest little boy that we could ever. We didn't even realize we needed. We needed him. And our eldest daughter, Maddie, she's not able to be with us today because she is getting her wedding gown sized today. Come on now. Woo! Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm soon going to have another son, an older one. Rob Mayorga, he's going to be marrying our daughter, Maddie, December the 6th. And so our family's getting ready to grow even bigger come next month. And as most of you know, my family and I, we moved to Ivor, Virginia, where I'm the pastor at Millfield Baptist Church. We moved back in March of 2024. And we've really been blessed to serve our Millfield church family and community. And we have wonderful folks that we serve alongside of. Actually, is there just one of us here today, Millfield? Two. Oh, Morgan. Yes, Morgan's here today too. So we got Leah Bell. We got some Millfield folks in here today joining us. It's wonderful. But it's been amazing to watch how God worked at Millfield, and how it's been amazing how God has been working here at Ballard's Bridge. I'm able to keep up with y'all on Facebook and watch how things are growing and progressing, and it's just, you've got a great leader here. Praise the Lord. But it's a great time to be home today in the church where my parents have served faithfully since I was a baby, and my brother, and he's been serving here, and I got many cousins and extended family in here, and it's just good. Part of my weekly routine when I leave the church and head home, when I drive home every Sunday, I say, Lord, what are we going to talk about next week? I say, what do you want heard? What do you want me to speak next Sunday? And if I don't hear anything right then, usually he'll wake me up in the middle of the night with a sermon running through my head, or something will happen Monday morning during that time period of prayer. Something just ignites a sermon. Well, maybe because we've been planning Maddie and Rob's wedding, God spoke to me Monday morning, and I woke up right out of a dead sleep, and I heard the wedding banquet. Now, it's not the most fun topic I ever came with for a sermon. I love picking topics for sermons, but anyhow, it was very appropriate for today, I felt like. I felt this powerful feeling of something that I can't explain, but I'm going to use the phrase full circle. This is how I got started, folks. I started officiating weddings, and that was one of the steps that God used in my life to break my fear of public speaking. I had a tremendous fear of public speaking. Then I began speaking at men's conferences, and not only did I surrender my life to Jesus right here on this altar with Pastor George Cook, I preached my first sermon from this pulpit. Praise God for his abundance and grace and mercy in mine and my family's life and leading us into ministry. Al and I have always talked and prayed about being in ministry together, but we never knew how that would look. God opened and he closed all the doors necessary, and when we truly became obedient to serving him. Willingness and obedience are key components of being useful servants for kingdom work. Now today, even though we're not celebrating a wedding, there will be a wedding banquet full of food here just shortly at the fellowship hall. And now if you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 19, starting with verse 1. Revelation 19, starting with verse 1. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the 24 living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne, and they cried, Hallelujah! Amen, Hallelujah! Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you servants who fear him, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's people. Then the angel said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. At this I fell at his feet and worshipped him. But he said to me, Don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who held to Jesus' testimony. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let's pray. Father God, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for every time we get the opportunity to read your word aloud, to hear your word, to study your word, Lord, and to proclaim your word. Lord, I pray that today, that if there's anyone in this church congregation that has never surrendered their life to Jesus and just fell on their knees before him, Lord, that today their hearts will be pricked. That today that they will choose to put their faith in him. Lord, I thank you for this place. I thank you for the opportunity to grow up here and to hear your word preached and taught so many days by so many wonderful people who are sitting out here in this congregation today. I thank you for the family members and the friends and the new faces I've seen today, Lord, that are coming to worship you together. Lord, speak through me today. Move me aside. Use me as your voice piece And Lord, I pray that your word will fall on receptive ears today. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Church, every time I read these passages, I can't help but get excited about what my future holds. And if you're here today and you've put your faith in Jesus Christ and his resurrection, you ought to be excited also. You ought to be excited. These passages are a great anthem of joy. Great multitudes of God's children praising him all at the same time. Let's try it together. Come on with me one time now. Let's say on the count of three, let's all shout hallelujah. One, two, three. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was pretty good. Let's do it again. Come on, one more time. One, two, three. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good land, let the Lord hear you. If you turn back now in the book of Revelation chapter 7 and you read verse 9, you'll learn who these great multitudes consisted of. The Apostle John, he writes, "After this I looked up, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" So why are these great multitudes rejoicing, church? Because sin has been judged and the price has been paid. Going back to Revelation chapter 19, starting with verses 1 through 4, they teach us that the God that we worship and serve is a God of truth, and he is a just God, delivering justice to all who fail to have faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So many Christians have been persecuted to death, and this shout of hallelujah is a proclamation that Jesus has defeated sin and death on the cross. These proclamations of hallelujah are for the saints who were martyred for their faith. These shouts of hallelujah are for the just judgments God delivered on Babylon and all who failed to worship him. These shouts of hallelujah begin with salvation. Only through the shed blood of Jesus can we be saved. God receives all glory and honor because of his grace and mercy on a world that's full of sin. Verse 3 describes how Babylon has paved her way to eternal damnation. The Apostle John, he writes, "And again they shouted, 'Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever.'" These voices united in worship of the one and true living God who is on the throne and all powerful. Verse 4 describes how they all fell down and worshiped God in unity. Woo, just like y'all just did. That's what y'all were doing during your praise and worship time. Absolutely beautiful, church. Beautiful. Krista, all of y'all up here, it's good to be home. Verse 5 teaches us that we should all have a healthy fear of the Lord. Verse 5, then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all his servants who... you who fear him, both great and small." Psalms 25:14 says, "If the Lord confides in those who fear him, he makes his covenant known to them." Church, when we have a healthy fear of the Lord, you begin to have a more well-rounded, healthy relationship with God and with those who are around you each and every day. A relationship that's built upon trust and obedience. A healthy fear is a type of fear that is developed by how you revere God and how you submit yourselves to his almighty power. The closer you get to him, the more he's going to reveal himself to you. Those who keep a healthy fear of God will begin to receive understanding of their purpose and plans that he has for their lives. He's got a plan for each and every one of y'all. Verse 6, "Then I heard what sounded like great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns.'" Can you just imagine all of God's children worshiping him in one accord? Just how beautiful that sound will be. Scripture says we all worship God. There won't be any of y'all men who stand up here and refuse to sing in heaven. I know every Sunday when I'm up there singing, I'm standing there watching, and these men are just, they look like they mad. I'm like, what are y'all mad about? Just open your voice and make some kind of noise. Come on now. Your voices will be made perfect, and you will praise God when you get there. Verse 7 says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." Church, notice how John is told to write "wedding supper of the Lamb," whereas he could have been told to write Wedding Supper of the King or Wedding Supper of our Lord. Jesus wanted it to be recorded for all to see throughout history and eternity that he is the sacrificial lamb. He wanted that noted and remembered. Although we know him as Messiah, Lord, King, and a lot of other names, he made sure we all remember him and how great his love extends to all his church, his bride, that's y'all, by being referred to as the Lamb. He wanted that to be remembered. This is a remembrance of the sacrifice he made for each and every one of us. He bought and paid in full the price for the church with his redeeming blood. We as the church get to go to heaven by God's grace, not by anything we do, not by our good works or how good we think we are. His love was for the bride, for the church. Verse 8, fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's people. One day, all who have repented and had faith in Christ will stand before the judgment seat of Jesus. We will all be judged according to our faithfulness as Christian servants of Christ. The bride of Christ will be dressed according to her righteousness. Dr. Lehman Strauss writes, "Has it ever occurred to you that at the marriage of the bride and the lamb, each of us will be wearing the wedding garment of our own making?" Church, don't get to heaven to the wedding supper in heaven and find yourself naked because you lived a dormant Christian life. Don't get up there and you just up there walking around one sleeve and a robe strap tied around you because you didn't have any righteous acts here on earth. It's a joke. And jokes are good, but there is some merit behind what I'm saying. If you go back, and I encourage you to study your Bible and learn what will happen when you get there to the wedding supper with Jesus. But church, there are many believers who do nothing but come and fill pews every Sunday, even if they even attempt to do that. Some of y'all are, you know, you're here because it's homecoming maybe, or Easter or Christmas, and you might not ever go to church. And it might be a little embarrassing one day when you're up there with just that one sleeve and that robe strapped tied around. I'm just saying. I like jokes in church, okay? Don't beat me down because of it. Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 25, the Apostle Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, people have never hated their own bodies, but they feed and care for them just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and become united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Today, when we all get up and leave this beautiful sanctuary, we're going to go over to the fellowship hall and the Family Life Center, and we're going to share a homecoming meal together. How many of y'all remember all the homecoming meals right back here in the old fellowship hall? I know there's a lot of you. Good gracious, I do. It was always slam-packed full of food, friends, family, and fellowship. Brothers and sisters in Christ and family members who haven't seen each other in a long time, They come and sit together and share a meal together. What a beautiful time of fellowship. This gathering is symbolic of the gathering that's going to take place with Jesus when we're all called home. The Apostle John was told by an angel to write about the vision he was experiencing where there will be a great wedding supper that is celebrated by Jesus and his bride, the church. Typically now when a man and a woman are having a wedding is when both sides of the family come together and they celebrate the newlywed couple. And it's a time where family and loved ones come together with a very similar homecoming feeling. These passages speak of a homecoming wedding supper that fellow brothers and sisters in Christ will share alongside with him. As I think about my daughter's upcoming wedding, I think about how the bond of marriage between a man and a woman is God's most precious and prized possession. When I think about weddings, I can't help but think about what King Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. "Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." When God created man and woman in the book of Genesis, he created them to become joined to one another and united together with him. He created a bond between a man and a woman and himself that not easily can be broken as long as he is the head of the relationship. Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 22, says, "Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Church, there will be no shame felt when we're at the wedding supper with Jesus. Just like there's no shame felt between a man and a woman's union on their wedding night, the union between a man and a woman is symbolic of the union we have with Jesus as followers of him. The church, the bride of Christ, will be taken home, and there will be a great homecoming banquet to follow. This will be the homecoming of homecomings. We'll all be feasting alongside Jesus and all those who went ahead of us from this life and into the next. No one knows exactly how this wedding banquet will look, but I can just imagine getting to once again taste Miss Jane Joyner's tomato pudding. I done struck a nerve. Aunt Lorraine Hare's chicken pot pie. My granny's famous meat salad. See, a lot of you new folks don't have a clue who I'm talking about or what I'm talking about here, but there's a whole lot of y'all who remember all the good homecoming meals that we had here over the years. And let's not forget about Miss Lily Hollowell's or Miss Mildred's blueberry cobblers. Good gracious, did you bring any today? Lordy. Or Miss Eileen's homemade bread and homemade pimento cheese. Woo, what you talking about? She had the most beautiful voice over here in this choir. Or the sweet potato casseroles Miss Faye Bateman and Miss Ann Hare would fix up. They had all kinds of sweet potato goodies. I don't know why. My mama would bring pot roast a lot of times. Good gracious. And I know I'm missing so many others who made delicious food, but I don't want y'all sitting out here starving and all you hear is your neighbor's stomach instead of the preaching that's happening here growling. But I will add this. No matter what Miss Vivian brought to the table, it was always the best food you put in your mouth. Good. I'm going to end it on that note. Y'all about ready for me to wrap this up so y'all can go eat? But before I do, I want to ask all of you, are you ready for the wedding supper with Jesus? Have you made preparations for the homecoming that Jesus has gone ahead of us to prepare? There's folks all over in the Family Life Center right now preparing a meal for us as we speak. And maybe you're new to all this, and maybe you just don't know how to get to that wedding supper with Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you before I leave today. The fact is that one day you're going to either take your final breath on this earth, or Jesus is going to return. That's a fact, Jack. And those who surrender their life to him and place their faith in the fact of knowing that he was beaten, crucified, and 3 days later rose from the grave will be attending the wedding supper of the Lamb. We have to confess. We have to repent. The Bible tells us in order to one day get to the wedding supper of the Lamb, we must repent. To repent of our sins means to ask God's forgiveness and to turn away from those sins. In order for you to be able to attend the homecoming wedding supper with Jesus, you must be willing to have faith in him and repent of your sins. All through the Bible speaks of repentance. During Jesus' ministry here on earth, he preached a clear and deliberate message of repentance. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The Gospel of Mark records the same message from Jesus from chapter 1. "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." When Jesus was telling the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, he says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Have you repented and turned your life in the direction towards Jesus? That's the question for today. Have you made preparations necessary that so you have a reserved seat at the table with Jesus during the greatest wedding supper that shall ever be had? Part of a Christian's preparation here on this earth is to prepare others. This is a critical part of a Christian sanctifying walk with Jesus. Becoming a newborn believer is just the beginning of your preparation. It's just the beginning of the work. There's work to be done. Every Christian has work to do. This is why God gives each person a spiritual gift upon their salvation. The spiritual gift is entrusted to you by God so that you can effectively do the work God has in store for you to do. Your spiritual gift will help you with the preparations that give you the tools to help lead others to Christ. When you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life by developing your spiritual gifts, you become the fertilizer in another person's life that will help them to mature and produce good fruit for the kingdom of God. Church, your ability to do kingdom work is little to none without the Holy Spirit guiding your life. Jesus tells us, he tells his disciples the parable of the 10 virgins in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. Five of those 10 had not made adequate preparations for the return of the bridegroom for his bride. Scripture says, five were foolish and five were wise. The five wives had filled their lamps with oil so that they would have a bright light to be able to guide them to the wedding banquet with the bridegroom. Scripture says the five foolish did not have any oil for their lamps. They weren't prepared. This oil, now it represents the Holy Spirit in our individual lives. Jesus says they all became drowsy and fell asleep. This part of the parable is a perfect example of a lot of Christians' spiritual state. Oftentimes, Christians allow the sin in their lives to suppress the work of the Holy Spirit, and they become drowsy, lethargic Christians. Matthew 25, verse 5, in the King James Version says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slept and slumbered. Not just the unprepared, but all the five who were unprepared and the five who were prepared. They all slept and slumbered. Church, don't allow the sin in your life to cause you to be a lethargic Christian who is just going through the motions of church rather than being the church. The church with a capital C. If you're a professing Christian, you should be living each day with great expectation of your future glory in the kingdom of God. You should be praying constantly and very specifically for the Holy Spirit to work through you. You should be praying with great expectation of hope and a promise of a second coming of Jesus. You should be excited and deliberate about your time spent studying Scripture, drawing near to God. The book of James tells us that when we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. Approach Him with great hope and assurance because Jesus paid the ultimate price so that you have a seat at the wedding supper. Matthew chapter 25, verse 6 says, at midnight the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out and meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. There's a sense of urgency in these passages. The act of trimming their wicks was symbolic of the Holy Spirit illuminating their way to the wedding banquet. In other words, the acts of trimming their lamp wicks was part of the process necessary for their light to become brighter. Church, the more often you trim the wick of your lamp by going to the Lord in prayer and trimming your wick by studying God's holy word, meditating upon His word, the brighter your light will be in a dark world. The brighter that your light shines, the more attractive you become in a dark and dying world. People want what you have. They want to live in that light. The light that you're putting off may be helping lead someone who's living in darkness a step closer to having a seat at the table during the wedding banquet that Jesus has gone ahead of us to prepare. I'm going to ask you again, do you have a table at that seat with Jesus? Or are you still living in a state of unpreparedness? Like the five virgins who took for granted the timing of the bridegroom's arrival. Scripture says the bridegroom was a long time in coming. I read this verse again from King James. It says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slept in slumber. The word tarried represents the time period between Jesus' ascension into heaven and when He returns for His bride. See, church, both believers and non-believers, prepared and non-prepared, may be fast asleep when Jesus returns for those who have plenty of oil. And they're going to wake up ready for the bridegroom's arrival. While the others, they're going to wake up in a frenzied state with no hope of making it to the bridegroom. Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 8 through 10, the foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell the oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. the prepared virgins, they sent the unprepared virgins to go to the source to buy some oil. But it was too late. It was too late, church. Jesus goes on to say the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others came and said, "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the hour or the day." Does Jesus know you? If you're sitting in here today, does he know you? Do you know him personally? Do you hear when you speak to him, do you hear back? Are you connected in him as a husband is to his wife? Are you eternally connected to God, and or are you still living in darkness separated from him? Church, the bottom line is we do not know when Jesus will return, nor do we know when we will take our final breath from this earth. But being prepared for either one of those days is detrimental to our eternity. As I said earlier, if you're a professing Christian sitting in here today, part of your preparation is to help prepare others. Discipleship is detrimental to developing devoted doors for kingdom work. All Christians have work to do. This past week, we took time to honor our veterans who have served so faithfully to keep us living in a country where we have God-given freedoms. We live in a country where our rights as American citizens are protected by law. Our Declaration of Independence assures American citizens God-given rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Many countries fall under dictatorship and do not have these freedoms that our military personnel have fought to ensure for us. Church, if I invited any one of those veterans up here to tell us about their boot camp or their war experiences, they would tell you how being prepared and the urgency to stay prepared was always on the top of their list as military personnel. They were trained to be alert and ready to go into battle at a minute's notice. Church, we are living each and every day on the battlefield. Each and every day. If we don't make God our number one priority in life and make discipleship a priority, we will be an unprepared people for the attacks that will never stop coming on the church. We can't see the spiritual battles that are going on around us, but we can see the evidence in them because of how corrupt and evil the world is. Church, Jesus is preparing a wedding supper for all who are faithfully following him. And I don't want to be sitting around that table looking for the person that I left behind because I chose not to simply invite them to church, or I chose not to simply ask them if they believe in our resurrected Savior. A huge part of our preparation is preparing others. The angel said to John, "Write this down. Blessed are those who were invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." Blessed means that you have found favor with God. Whew. Blessed by God means you no longer belong to this world, but your eternity with him has already started. It's like when a couple gets engaged. They're in great anticipation of their wedding day. Church, right now we're in the engagement season with Christ. And before long, we're going to find ourselves at that wedding supper. It all started right here for me. I gave my life to Christ right here at the foot of this altar. And many years later, I delivered my first sermon from this pulpit. Praise God. I was filling a pulpit supply back then. Didn't have a clue what I was doing. Praise God, he did and worked through me. One of the messages I delivered from this pulpit right here was for unity. I preached at several churches who didn't have pastors at that time, and God kept leading me to preach a message of unity. The Apostle Paul writes about the unified body of the church, and one of the things I remember telling the church was, when you begin praying in unity, God will bless you with a pastor, but you got to pray in unity. He has one prepared for you, but you have to pray as a unified body. Well, we were called to serve Millfield, and I see how they were praying in unity and how God has worked through me and my family and at the church where I was called to pastor. And during that time, God blessed Ballard's Bridge with who he has stored for this church. And this tells me that y'all all became unified in prayer. What a beautiful thing. Now you have a pastor leading you to the wedding supper with Jesus. Just think about all the saints in heaven worshiping God with the shouting of hallelujah all at the same time. God heard your prayers and he answered. God didn't just bless Ballas Bridge with a well-educated, well-prepared pastor. He blessed this church with a beautiful, godly family to help lead in how a family should look. I'm truly grateful and honored to have been able to come and fill this pulpit once again today. And I pray for this church daily. I never have stopped praying. I pray for Josh daily. I mean, he's on my mind every day because I know the people he's serving. I'm close to y'all. If you've come here today, before I go into that, I'm going to pray. Father God, today is such a special day in the house of the Lord. Such a special day here in Chowan County, Lord. And I just pray that your word was heard and well received, Lord. And I pray to God that as we go into fellowship today and share a meal together, that today would just honor you. Exalt Jesus, Lord, in everything that we do today, Lord. I pray that we put him up on high because we know that's where he is, Lord. And he is above us all. He loves us all. Lord, if there's anyone here today whose heart was pricked, Lord, I just pray that they just find the courage and the boldness, Lord, to step out and come up and pray and show the world who they believe in, Lord. Show the world who they put their faith in, Lord, and that they're willing to repent of their sins and turn away from their sins. Father God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to be here once again with my family and friends and in your house. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've come here today and you're unsure of what your future holds, you're unsure that whether or not you have a seat at that table with Jesus, now would be the time to get up and come up here and pray with Josh. Let the world know who you faithfully serve from this day forward. Maybe you've just got something on your heart. You've been wanting to repent and just come up here at the altar and pray. I remember many, many days, there's a lot of boxes in the way today, but I remember many, many days growing up in here where men and women will be on their knees up here at this altar praying. Such a beautiful thing. Let the world know that you've chosen to follow Jesus. Are we standing to sing? I didn't look at the bulletin. Let's all stand and sing hymn number, whatever she tells you.
We're going to be singing In Christ Alone, which is not found in your hymn book.